This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir program page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we are on page 64 of the Quran, which is the fourth juz, Surah Ali Imran. Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the previous verse, He spoke about a number of important issues, and foremost amongst them was the issue of remaining steadfast upon this religion, and how remaining steadfast upon this religion requires taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remaining firm upon it until the time of death, being united upon the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not disuniting, being amongst those people who call to good, enjoin the good, forbid the evil, and so on. Today's episode we begin with verse 109, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإلى الله ترجع الأمور. Everything in the heavens and earth belongs to Allah. It is to Him that all things return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he's mentioned in numerous places in the Quran, that everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing in the heavens and the earth except that it is in the dominion and the kingdom and the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, the one that controls everything in the heavens and the earth is the one that has the most right to be worshipped subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who is worthy of all worship subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one that we should worship, we should love in a divine way, trust in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fear His punishment. Allah Azza wa Jalla in verse 110, He then continues and He says,
كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَوْ آمَنَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ مِنْهُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَأَكْثَرُهُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ.
Indeed, you are the best community singled out for people. You order what is right, forbid what is wrong, and believe in Allah. If the people of the book had also believed, it would have been better for them. For although some of them do believe, most of them are disbelievers or lawbreakers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this beautiful verse, He tells us one of the things that makes this ummah, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, special. And one of the things that singles us out. And that is this issue, as we mentioned briefly in the previous episode, of commanding the good and forbidding the evil. Enjoining the good and reminding others. So when we see something that people are missing out, we tell them that they should do it. Or when they're doing something which is wrong and evil, we tell them to stay away from it. This is one of the core roles and duties of every single Muslim, not just the Imam or the Khatib or the Alim or the Mufti. It is every single Muslim that should play this role. Each one in their own sphere of influence, each one according to their ability. So that's the parents with their family members, their children. That's the employer when it comes to his employees. That's the teacher when it comes to their students. That's the imam when it comes to their congregation. Every single person plays their role with regards to this. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ. You are the best of people. أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. From all of mankind. And we know that the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be the first of nations on the day of judgment to be judged. And therefore will be the first of nations to enter into paradise by Allah's permission and through His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is it that makes this ummah so great and unique in that way? It is this, that all of us have this collective responsibility of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. If you look at this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three things that make this ummah amazing. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, you enjoin the good. تَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرُ, you forbid the evil. تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, you believe in Allah. Now if you were to look at those three things, you would say that surely belief in Allah should be the first thing that is mentioned. Right? You have to have iman in Allah, believe in Allah, then you enjoin the good and forbid the evil.
So why then does Allah Azza wa Jal mention enjoining the good and forbidding the evil first, and then delays mentioning Iman in Allah Azza wa Jal? And there are a couple of reasons, but one of the main reasons for this, and Allah knows best, is because from the eloquence of the Arabs, is that if they wanted to highlight an attribute from a number of attributes that someone possesses, they would begin with something that needs to be focused upon in that particular context. So we know that Iman is the most important thing. That is something which is known by every single Muslim. But here Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking about a certain aspect which is over and above just simply having Iman, and that is what makes this Ummah different and unique. Because there were believers in the time of all of the prophets. Ibrahim alayhi salam had believers, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Hud, Salih, Shu'ib, Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. They all have believers. So every one of these groups of people are blessed in the sense that they have Iman. But here Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, what makes you, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what makes you unique, what gives you an advantage, what makes you even special, even more special than those who came before you. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla begins what is with the special traits, as opposed to the common denominator between all of these nations. And that is that this Ummah is an Ummah of what we call Al-Amru Bil-Ma'roof Wal-Nahi Anil-Munkar, an Ummah that enjoins the good and forbids the evil. And as I said in the previous episode, it is something which unfortunately is being lost in our communities, in our families, where people don't really correct one another anymore. They don't advise one another anymore. You see someone and you think that that person maybe doesn't pray, or isn't doing something good, or is involved in something which is haram. And sometimes people are involved in criminal activity in our own families. We know our relatives, our neighbors, they're doing things that are wrong, haram, blatantly. And we have influence over them. They respect us, they like us, we have some ability to influence them, but we choose not to, because it's going to sour our relationship, because it's going to cause problems within the family. And so we'll dismiss what the command of Allah Azza wa Jal is out of a person's, you know, for the sake of a person's feelings or what it is that they may become offended by or not. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that this isn't the way of the Muslims. The Muslims are those who understand this issue of commanding the good, forbidding the evil. And so that's something which is unique. It is something which is unique, and it is something which Allah Azza wa Jalla will mention numerous times in the Quran. And that is because when the people don't do this, then evil becomes widespread. Everyone gets involved in evil. Because if you don't speak out when evil is taking place, it becomes the norm. And as people become desensitized to it, and it becomes the norm of their existence, then they're more likely to accept it. And as they accept it, it becomes more and more widespread. Whereas if every time someone saw it, they spoke out, every time you see it in your family, you correct, you advise, at the very least, people will know it's not acceptable. At the very least. You may not be able to influence people's actions. They have a degree of freedom and a degree of an ability to do as they please, that's fine. But they know, and everyone knows at the very least, oh, you know, it's not good, it's not right, and so on. And people used to have what we used to call a level of shame before, where even if they're doing something wrong, they would try to hide and do it. Or if they're in public and they saw someone walking that they respected, or someone that looks like, for example, as Muslims, they're practicing their religion, they would feel shy and embarrassed, and they would kind of walk away. Whereas now we're seeing that people are more bold, amongst Muslims I'm speaking, more bold and more likely to do evil and haram in front of others, because people are less likely to speak out and less likely to show their disapproval. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَوْ آمَنْ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. If the people of the scripture had believed, it would have also been better for them. Because as we've said in these previous few passages, some of these verses and some of this context is related to the people of the book and the people of the scripture. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, had they had Iman, that would have been better for them as well. مِنْهُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Amongst them are true believers, meaning those who accepted the true prophets and messengers of their time in the way that they should have, without committing shirk and by following the sharia of those prophets and messengers of that time. So Allah Azza wa Jalla does not dismiss from any ummah of any prophet that there were believers amongst them. It is not our iman, for example, that in the time of Musa alayhi salam, that there weren't people who were mu'min, believers truly following the religion of Musa alayhi salam in terms of upholding tawheed and upholding the sharia of Musa alayhi salam and following him. However, as we've said numerous times before, once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent, every sharia that came before him was abrogated. Every ruling, every hukm, everything is abrogated by the sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Allah Azza wa Jalla says, yes, during those times, before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were people who were mu'minun, وَأَكْثَرُهُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ But they were the minority, the majority of them were those who disbelieved or who broke the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse 111, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, لَنْ يَضُرُّوكُمْ إِلَّا أَذَى وَإِنْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ يُوَلُّوكُمُ الْأَدَبَارَ ثُمَّ لَا يُنصَرُونَ They will not do much harm to you. Even if they come out to fight you, they will soon turn tail and they will get no help. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says that these people of the scriptures, they cannot harm you. And even if they try to do so, they wouldn't have the determination to be able to fight you or to come out and to meet you in battle, speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during that time. And that is why, as we know, the vast majority of the battles that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought during his time were against the Arabs and the Quraysh. And hardly any, if any, in terms of a pitched battlefield war, was engaged with any of the people of the scripture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 112, ضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ أَيْنَمَا ثُقِفُوا إِلَّا بِحَبَلٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَحَبَلٍ مِّنَ النَّاسِ وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَسْكَنَةِ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقَّ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ And unless they hold fast to a lifeline from Allah or from mankind, they are overshadowed by their vulnerability wherever they are found. They have drawn Allah's wrath upon themselves. They are overshadowed by weakness too, because they have persistently disbelieved in Allah's revelation and killed the prophets without any right, or because of their disobedience and boundless transgression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is still speaking about the people of the scripture. Allah azza wa jalla in the previous verse said that they won't come and fight you, and if they do, they will soon turn away and they will flee. Allah azza wa jalla says, and that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed upon them humiliation. And they only have strength when they have one or two things, Allah azza wa jalla says. Number one is a covenant from Allah, meaning that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will enter into a treaty of peace with them, that's a covenant now. We're not going to fight you. You can't fight us. And so we're going to have this treaty between us and between you. Or they accept, for example, the jizya payments or whatever it may be. We will accept this. Or they have a covenant with mankind, meaning that they come under some type of guardianship, some type of rulership that gives them security, gives them safety. That is when you will see them. Otherwise, they are always overshadowed by weakness. وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ And Allah Azza wa Jalla says that they have and have incurred the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَسْكَنَةِ And poverty and weakness has been placed amongst them. And that poverty and weakness sometimes is real poverty and weakness, and sometimes it is the poverty of weak and weakness in the sense that they are never content, never satisfied. No matter what they have, they will never be people who are content. And that is because even though they claim that they worship Allah and they know and they believe in the hereafter, they don't really like or don't really understand or don't really know and have that firm iman and guarantee or surety within themselves that for them there is reward in the hereafter. And so they're always afraid of death, afraid of meeting Allah Azza wa Jalla, disliking to go to that place and to that point. And that is because of the weakness that they have that is within them. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ Why did Allah Azza wa Jalla place upon them this weakness, give them his wrath and anger? It is because they disbelieved in the verses and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ And they kill the prophets without any right. Not all of their prophets, but some from amongst them, they kill them without any due right, as is mentioned, for example, in the books of Tafsir, and as we've mentioned before, for example, that some of the scholars said that the likes of Zakariya and Yahya alayhi salatu wassalam were killed and murdered. And this isn't something, by the way, strange, that people would actively try to go and kill the prophets and messengers that were sent to them, because they disbelieved and they rejected them, and they saw those people as people who are causing major upheaval within their communities and within their societies. And so they would try to rid themselves from them. Then they tried to kill Ibrahim alayhi salam when they threw him into the raging pyre, the fire that was blazing. That's a type of trying to kill him. And Allah Azza wa Jalla saved Ibrahim alayhi salam. And when they couldn't kill their prophets, they would exile them. They would tell them to leave, get rid of the problem. And so they would tell them to leave from their lands. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Quran that they said to certain prophets, if you don't stop what you're doing, لَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمَرْجُومِينَ We will stone you to death. And so that threat was always something which was visible during that time. Even our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many times did they attempt to assassinate him, kill him, murder him, try to get rid of him? And that's because of the problems that they saw him bringing within their society. And so it is not a strange concept that people who Allah, to whom Allah Azza wa Jalla sent prophets and messengers, that they would turn away and they would try to kill those prophets and messengers that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent to them. But some of them managed to do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved certain prophets and messengers, as we know, such as Ibrahim alayhi salam and such as Isa alayhi salam. That's another example. The people of that time believed that they crucified him. Allah Azza wa Jalla saved him, as we know, but they believed that they had crucified him. So this concept of killing prophets and messengers is very much something that you will find in the stories of the prophets and messengers of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah saved some of them, like Ibrahim, like Isa, like our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa alayhi salatu wasalam. But other prophets, Allah Azza wa Jalla decreed that they would be killed to show the evil of what was being done. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, وَيَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ, and they killed some of their prophets without any cause or any justification. ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ, all because of their disobedience and their transgression beyond the boundaries that Allah Azza wa Jalla has set. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then in verse 113, he says, لَيْسُوا سَوَاءً مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ أُمَّةٌ قَائِمَةٌ يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُمْ يَسْجُدُونَ. But they are not all the same, meaning the people of the book, not all of them are the same. From amongst the people of the scripture are those who are upright, recite Allah's revelations during the night, and they prostrate in worship to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we said before, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned already in the one of the verses that we just took at the beginning of today's episode, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned to us that they're not all equal, the people of the book. Not every single nation of every single messenger disbelieved during that time. There were from amongst them believers and from amongst them disbelievers. And from the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that those people who believed in Allah Azza wa Jalla from at the hands of those prophets and messengers that were sent to them during those times, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will bless them and Allah Azza wa Jalla will honor them and reward them. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says that from amongst them you see a group who are upright, meaning upright in terms of the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla, upright in terms of upholding the sharia that was sent to their prophets and messengers of that time. يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ, they recite the verses of revelation during the night, meaning they stand in worship. And this shows to you, therefore, that even before Islam, there were these concepts of sajda, of prayer, of night prayer, qiyamul layl. This isn't something which is unique, for example, to the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But all of the prophets and messengers of Allah had worship, like salah, and like giving sadaqah, and like fasting. These are acts of worship that were known amongst the prophets and messengers of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, some of those rulings may have changed in terms of the way that the prayer is offered, or some of the conditions and so on. Those changes, as we know, is something which Allah azza wa jalla changes from sharia to sharia. But the general concept in terms of the worship, of devoting yourself to Allah azza wa jalla, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prostrating, bowing, fasting, giving charity, those are things that you will find across the board, across the shara'i or the sharia's of the prophets and messengers of Allah. So this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, that from amongst them you will find those people. People who uphold the truth, people who worship Allah, people who recite the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla then continues in their description in verse 114, يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويسارعون في الخيرات وأولئك من الصالحين. They believe in Allah and the last day. They order what is right, forbid what is wrong, and they are quick to do the good deeds. They hasten to do good deeds. These are the people amongst the righteous. So Allah Azza wa Jalla gives the descriptions. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that they were people of belief. Belief in Allah, belief in Yawm al-Qiyamah, people who upheld what was good, enjoined what was good, forbade what was wrong, people who hastened to do the good deeds. All of these are attributes, as we know, that in our religion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also recommended and urged us and motivated us to perform as well, that we're people of ibadah, people of iman, people of enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, people who hasten towards Allah's mercy and forgiveness through the act of doing good deeds. This is righteousness. And we know therefore that from amongst the followers of the Prophet, so people like this. So Jannah is not exclusively for the people of or the nation of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but rather in Jannah they will be the true mu'mineen and believers of all of the Prophets of Allah and the Messengers of Allah who had those believers during their times and in those respective places. So Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us that this is the reality of that case. And we know even from our own tradition, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he emerged as a messenger, there were people who in Mecca were people who were upon the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, as we've mentioned before. People like the father of Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, people like Waraqa ibn Nawfal, the cousin of Khadija radiallahu anha, to whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went after first receiving revelation. There were these people there in Mecca who didn't worship idols, didn't sacrifice to idols, didn't believe in this whole concept of idol worship, and they wanted to follow the pristine religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of their ability as they could. And as we know also in that tradition, that from amongst the people outside of Arabia, people who were monks of Christianity and so on, and Judaism and others, there were from amongst them people who also didn't fall into this issue of shirk and worshipping Allah other than Allah Azza wa Jal, and they knew of the prophecy of a man who would come and be the final messenger, and they were waiting for that time. And you see this in numerous stories, for example, in the story of Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, how he moves from monastery to monastery, from monk to monk, each one of them according to Allah Azza wa Jal, until he comes to one who tells him that the time has come now for a messenger to emerge. For you to meet him, you need to go to that land of palm trees. And there he takes this long-winded journey trying to find this place until he eventually arrives, as we know, in the city of Medina, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would migrate to. And as we know, Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu becomes not only a Muslim but becomes from the well-known major companions of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore Allah Azza wa Jal says that yes, amongst them there are those people as well. The difference, however, as we said now, is that once the Sharia or the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was announced, once he emerged sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the messenger of Allah, then no one has any leeway except to follow his way, as we mentioned previously before as well. But Allah Azza wa Jal is speaking about those people who came before, and for them Allah Azza wa Jal says in verse 115, in the final verse with which we will conclude today's episode, he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا يَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلَنْ يُكْفَرُوهُ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالْمُتَّقِينَ. And they will not be denied forever good deeds they did. Indeed, Allah knows of those who are mindful of Him and of taqwa of Him. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that which those people did, those people of good from the people of the scriptures and the past nations, they worshipped Allah, they believed in Allah, they called to Allah Azza wa Jalla, they hastened to do good deeds. Allah says that which they did, they will not be denied the reward of it. They will not be denied the reward. Those people were mu'min of that time. And likewise, someone who truly, as we know from our sunnah or the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who truly believes in the message of a prophet and then comes across Islam and believes, they have a double share of the reward. As the Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that from those who will have a double share of the reward are those, for example, who believe in Isa alayhi salam, and they believe in his message truly. And then when they hear about Islam, they accept Islam as well. Allah Azza wa Jalla will give them a double reward. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us therefore that there are from amongst the people of the book of those times, of those generations who believe truly in Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have their reward in full. And that is because Allah Azza wa Jal knows what is in the heart, knows people's sincerity, knows their taqwa that they have and the piety that they have within their hearts. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.